Today, you know, we celebrate Ascension Thursday. 40 days after Easter, our Lord, having risen bodily from the dead, was with his disciples these past 40 days, continuing to teach them, to perform miracles for them. Some of them we heard through the Gospels. Others remain only in our guesses or in sacred tradition. For as St. John wrote in his Gospel, all the things that the Lord did could not be contained within books, for there would be too much. But nevertheless, the time came, and that is what we celebrate today, for him to leave his disciples. We remember on Easter Sunday morning, when Mary Magdalene saw Jesus outside the grave, he said to her, "Do not cling to me. Do not cling to me. I must ascend to my Father." Today we celebrate that ascension. Jesus ascending to the Father. I think we should ask ourselves, where is Jesus? Where is he now? I imagine, or at least I used to imagine, when I was a little boy, this gospel passage, and I see Jesus, I imagine us like gathered here on the hill. We know where that hill is, right? Yes, we do, of course. Mark doesn't tell us, but other gospels do. It's on the Hill of Olives. It's just outside the city of Jerusalem. There's the Temple Mount. You go down the hill into the Valley of Kidron. You come up, there's the Garden of Gethsemane, you keep going up the hill. This is the Mount of Olives. This is where you just go over the hill that you're into Bethany. You're back over the hill, you're right there. This is where the ascension took place. So we're standing on this mountain. There's us. Here's Jesus. And he goes up. And he keeps going up. And he goes up. And eventually says the clouds cover him. But of course, with my young boy mind, I think, well, okay, so the clouds covered them. I've done balloon launches. You keep going up, like, just because I can't see you. So I imagine, like, and I add a little bit of intelligence because, you know, the school teachers are teaching you. So you go up enough and you leave the Earth's atmosphere. Then what? You're into outer space. Then what? Okay, so he's traveling past Jupiter and through the asteroid belt. Okay, now he's moving. Where is he going? Where is Jesus? Now, my conclusion when I was a little lad is that he's just chilling out, like floating around in outer space, just doing his thing, because he gets, has like a little bubble over his head, he can breathe, and he's just doing all right. But I think as an adult, we have to ask ourselves this, where is he? He can't just be floating around. And I think that perhaps with my childlike imagination, I was obsessed with the physicality in the sense that I lost the fact that there is something more than the physical. What did the gospel say? What did the second reading say from Ephesians? That he has ascended above the heavens. He didn't just go up into the sky. He didn't just go up into outer space. That's not above the heavens. Jesus leaves creation. What does that mean? Well, we can't imagine that because we're stuck inside creation. You have to leave your imagination behind because there's nothing that your imagination can use to make an analogy of what it's like to no longer be within creation. But this is nevertheless what the scripture is telling us, that he has left creation, that he has ascended above the heavens to sit at the right hand of God the Father, that he has gone back to that place which existed before any places existed, where God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were within themselves prior to the creation of all the world. He is with his Father in heaven. And there he has returned to that place from which he came. And this is what St. Paul says. How can he ascend unless if he first descended? That God the Father, in the mystery of the incarnation, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who came down into our world. And so we cannot be Manichaeans, which is a heresy that none of us know. But what does it mean? It means we cannot hate the world. It means we cannot be obsessed only with a spiritual existence. God loves creation. Everything physical matters. What we do with our bodies matters. What happens on this earth matters. Last night I was speaking with my older brother, who is a parishioner over at St. John's, and he was going through his final exam. He teaches 8th grade CCD over there, or RE, whatever you want to call it. And he was telling me that his kids really struggle with the idea of a bodily resurrection. He says that they were thinking that Jesus rose from the dead in a way that's purely spiritual. And he said he even had some of his parents telling him that he was wrong for saying, no, it was bodily. And they said, no, 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 our faith is spiritual. It's not physical, it's spiritual. Well, that's not the faith of Jesus Christ. That's not the faith of the Scripture. And that's not our Catholic faith. Our Catholic faith is very physical because God loves creation so much that he entered into it, and he took our creation, our human nature, he took it to himself, and he has taken it up into heaven. It exists outside of itself, and that should be mind-blowing. Our body, which Jesus has, is now outside of creation. It exists no longer in time, but in eternity. This is beyond physics. This is why Aristotle would call it metaphysics. It's gone beyond. This is not simply natural. It is supernatural. And it explains everything of what we believe as Christians. If God has ascended above the heavens to be outside of creation, then it makes sense that in the Eucharist, he can be present in 1,000 different tabernacles spread throughout the world. His body is no longer bound by space and time, for he has taken it up into heaven, beyond our earthly realm, beyond all of the universe. He is outside of space and time. He is caught up into the love out of which space and time were formed. So Jesus, where is he? He's neither within the earth or on the earth, but rather he has ascended above to be with God. And because he is with God, who holds all creation in existence, he can be present to us in all places. And so, we prepare ourselves then with this gospel, with this feast of the Ascension, for that which comes next, Pentecost. We can only be hungering for it now. And that is exactly where the church wants to leave us. The apostles, watching our Lord ascend up, but knowing that he had promised them that I will now send you forth to go and be my witnesses. They had gathered with our Lord, who had died, who had risen from the dead, there on the Mount of Olives. Again, think not just what are they looking up to, but what are they looking over? They're on a mount. They're looking over. There is Jerusalem, right on the other side of the valley. There is the Temple Mount. Beyond that, you can see the mountain of the crucifixion. And they ask our Lord, is now the time when you are going to come and conquer the world? Is now the time when you're going to establish your kingdom on earth? Is this the time? And Jesus turns to them and he says, it is not for you to know the time, but you are going to have to do all the work. You will be my witnesses. Don't ask me to build the kingdom. You are going to have to do it. And there's only one way that you and I can do that. We heard in the gospel what things need to be done. Driving out demons. Healing the sick. Doing miracles. There's only one way that you and I can do this. The Holy Spirit. God continuing to work through us, through our bodies, through our souls, through our creation. God continuing to work to establish the kingdom in our hearts first and foremost, but then even out there, to all the ends of the world. You and I, who hear this message today, who are aware then of where God has gone and where He has brought us up with Him, how can we not come begging to this altar and say, Lord, I need You now more than I even realized before. I need Your grace now more than I would ever have dreamed of, because You are asking of me to do divine work. You are asking of me to continue Your mission of redemption, Your mission of bringing all things together into one, that one faith, that oneness of the church, which we heard of from St. Paul to the Ephesians. This feast of the Ascension should leave us wanting more, because it leaves us wanting Pentecost. And so the church has always begun that novena to the Holy Spirit on the Ascension. Now, if we start today, I think we still have 8 days left. If it starts tomorrow, you only got a septina left. If you started on Thursday, you get your whole novena. It's the best way to go. But however you do it, pray to the Holy Spirit. Beg the Holy Spirit to allow you to do just what God wants, to conquer the world, to bring His kingdom into existence. We heard the angels who appeared after Jesus has been taken from their sight. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up into heaven will return the same way you have seen Him going into heaven. Your job is not merely to look up, your job is to go out." And every Mass, we hear those words again. Go. The Mass is ended. Go forth and proclaim the gospel. Go out and conquer the world. Go out and be God in the world. How can we do this? We need the Holy Spirit. We need God to come and enter into our hearts. Just as He has ascended up into the Father, He also descends down into our souls through the sacraments, particularly we think baptism and the Eucharist. And so how wonderful it is tonight that we have right here in our first two pews, children who are preparing, teenagers, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and even 9th graders, who are preparing to receive the Eucharist for the very first time. Why? Because they are hungry for God. Why? Because they realize that they need Jesus' help if they are going to be able to conquer the world, first and foremost, conquer their hearts. They need what you and I need. God's power and His might and His love. And so I ask all of you parishioners, pray for them. They've been on retreat all day. Pray for them that they can hunger for the Eucharist with the same hunger that the apostles left this mountain and went back down the Kidron Valley, back up into Jerusalem, into the upper room, and knelt with the Blessed Mother for the next 9 days praying for the Holy Spirit. Pray for them that they can spend these days of preparation for their first Holy Eucharist begging God with that same desire. But as you're praying for them, pray also for yourselves and indeed for our whole church. Because our church can only be powerful. Our church can only be faithful to the mission of Jesus if we realize the fullness of what that mystery means. That our God has really entered into this world, and that He really wants to take this world up to be with Him. That He really wants there to be a mystical union, a marriage, if you will, between heaven and earth, between the eternity and the now. And He wants it to happen through you, in you, because of you, by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so we must all pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of Your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, so that the whole world can be recreated. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the Ascension, let us be with the apostles. Let us follow them to be with Mary, who will teach us how to pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will transform us into the very image of the invisible God, capturing us up into the mystical body of Christ until we become what we are meant to be, truly alive, living God's very life.